And now Andrew May has been under enormous pressure in the last couple of weeks. He was a former producer around these parts on the program, host of the Breakfast Bite, content man around town as well. Very good job at RSN 927. These days, taking up the manager's role for the media element of the Melbourne Stars Cricket Club. He's given us nothing.
He said he was going to have Glenn Maxwell, Zero. Marcus Stoinis and Adam Zampa in the studio for 2.5 hours.
Did he say that?
He did.
We haven't had that.
No.
But you know what? I don't want them. I'm very happy we've got the David Hussey, the coach of the Melbourne Stars, on the line, ready to talk about the Big Bash summer for him and his boys. He's with us again. Huss, good morning.
Morning, Huss. And he's up on Maisie. He's been over the pump. he's been awesome since he's arrived. He's been great.
What's he added to the organisation, Huss?
Humour. Not a lot of hair, but humour. bit of structure. He's just been good. He's getting to know the guys, and they've already developed relationships, which is already beneficial for the group.
If it was Whitey in that role, he'd be pushing to bat number six for the Stars. has he suggested he's a chance in the lineup?
I actually texted Whitey a few times a couple of years ago about is he seeing anything differently, or am I missing anything? So maybe he's more tactical now. His backroom staff is more his go than an actual player.
Huss, why would you do that? You should see the smile on Whitey's face right now. He's sitting there like, I told you, boys. I told you, all the greats always text me.
Well, it's sort of confidential, that sort of stuff. You just sort of don't say too much.
But when you get out for a duck in the media game, you spend a lot of time with the people around you. So I end up chatting to Whitey and I respect his views on the game.
There you go.
Well, you shouldn't have been out for a duck in the first place. That's a topic for another day, Huss. How are things coming along? You've had a couple of games this week with the academy and warm-up games, getting ready for Sunday against the Sixers. Are you happy with what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's been really, really good. It's been hectic, but that's very good. Two games against the Renegades on Tuesday, one game against the Hobart Hurricanes, which we went down by 15, 20 runs in the end. But a lot of good signs. We've got another game again against the Renegades, their first team this time, and yeah, we're winding up, I guess you could say, for the start of the season. The whole goal for these last few games is the medium intensity with the just one eye looking for Sunday's game against the Sydney Sixers, who, in my view, they're the favourites.
I look at your squad, and I can't see how you don't perform really well in this Big Bash competition. Is that, do you have that expectation as well with the list?
Well, I just ask the boys to compete every time they go out to play and pull on the Stars jerseys to compete. There's going to be a few falafels going on left, right and centre, but just go there, compete, take all the pressure off as often as I can, and it's hard enough as it is, but you just take all the pressure off them and allow the players to play and showcase their skills. They're going to play an entertaining brand and aggressive brand of cricket, and hopefully the fans enjoy watching him play.
And you always have. Sorry, Huff, you always have played an entertaining game of cricket. I wanted to ask you about this thing about the pressure of not having won the title, because I know you've kind of talked about it before, but because the reason I ask is Simon Goodwin, we had him with us a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about almost confronting the elephant in the room and sort of trying to turn it into a positive a little bit, that it's our time. What do you do with that? Do you ignore it? Do you attack it? What do you do?
Well, it's rather difficult because I get the players on the 1st of December, so I've got 5 days to prepare the boys and upskill the boys ready to go for Sunday, effectively. And you play practice games and you don't really have too much contact time with them or face-to-face time with them. So, but speaking on the grand finals and never winning one, I've discussed at length with some of the boys, and it's a burning ambition with boys to hold the trophy up this year, but also we believe that amongst our group that once we win one, there'll be a 3-4, like a New England Patriots dynasty style BBL franchise style of game.
Can I go back to the falafel? Sorry. I need to know more about this falafel conversation that you've included here, Huss. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, there's going to be some days where it just doesn't work out for you, so everything goes haywire, and or the other team plays better than what you do, which can happen. Just because you guys play well, why our team plays well, doesn't mean the opposition can't play well as well. So sometimes you just got to acknowledge that you're having a falafel day, and you just move on and get on with the next game, and try and take all the pressure off all the players.
Do you eat falafels?
I don't even know what a falafel is, actually.
Huss, it looks like T20 cricket's become a chasers game. You bat second.
Yes.
You see it through the World Cup. Australia were able to do that really successfully. Is there a way around it now? Okay, simply make more runs than the opposition when you bat first. But what can teams do to combat that now moving forward?
Yeah, it's a good point, Rama. So there's one constant in T20 cricket, and that's the score that's been set by the team that's batting first. But take a look at the World Cup. There's also different conditions. There's dew factor. Basically, the pitch gets better at night over in the UAE because of the dew factor. The ball skids on, it doesn't stop. So there's all those contributing factors there. But in Australia, I dare say it'll be a little bit different. A lot of teams, a lot of Australian teams, prefer batting first and getting a score on the board and then trying to defend that. Personally, I'm a big believer of batting first, but our death bowling is just going to improve, and I think that's going to be the make or break of many a wins. If you win the surge, the two-over power play in the middle of the innings, and the death overs, you generally go on to win the game of cricket.
So we know Zampa, we know Stoinis, we know Maxwell, we know Cartwright, we know Stanlake. We know Coulter Nile. It's a bloody good turn. Joe Burns, we know him. Who's going to pop up out of nowhere and be a real game breaker for you this year, Huss? Anyone that's showing some signs?
Yeah, so we've got this young lefty, Faradoon from Lahore. He's actually bowled left arm off spin 18 months ago in the Lahore Calanders. So they said, no, you're not going to make it in cricket. Try leg spin. So he's been playing leg spin for the last 18 months to 2 years, and he's bowling beautifully. Very hard to read. Has two googlies, big turning leg spin. So I expect him to do particularly well. But with the bat, you just hope they all just turn up on the day and just score some runs and play an entertaining brand of cricket, which is the goal. You want to entertain the fans and keep them coming back and wanting more. And if they do that and play our brand of cricket, generally goes on a long way for us to winning the game of cricket as well.
We talked to David Sakhi yesterday, and he's got that real challenge that their big guns aren't there at the start of the tournament. Aaron Finch is having a bit of a break. Shaun Marsh is injured, and Nick Maddison's with the Australia A team. You've got the advantage that your guns are available, and I would imagine it gets you a chance to hit the ground running and get that early season momentum that takes the ladder pressure off you a little bit. Do you see it that way?
Not so much. If I'm brutally honest, probably shouldn't tell you this, but I will. We're actually missing about 7 players as well. So, we've got a skeleton squad going up to Sydney on Friday as well, which is we've got a few injuries in Hatcher, Stanlake. Coulter Nile won't be making the trip. Joe Burns has had a bit of a scope on his knee, so we're battling a little bit, but we do have good reserves. Our depth has always been our pride, but we've had really good signings there. So it's going to be an entertaining brand of cricket, but in saying that, getting off to a good start is the key. But without sounding too cliche, I've just asked the boys, just every time you pull on a Stars jersey, just compete. Yep, there's going to be days where it doesn't go to plan, and there's going to be other days where they play better than us, but we just compete for longer than them. Generally, we'll go on and win the game of cricket.
Importantly, has Maxwell and Stoinis sobered up yet from the World Cup?
Yep. Max is actually playing today. He's playing particularly well without putting too much pressure on him again. But he's happy. He's smiling, which is good. He's had a good couple of weeks off, spending time with his fiance and friends and family, which is much needed after a very long campaign away. And Stoinis just being he's just happy being in Melbourne. A lovable rogue, and if his mind is fresh and he's ready to go, look out. I think he could set the tournament alight again.
If we're needed, Daniel, do we sort of talk to
Huss? Skeleton Crew's got me thinking that perhaps...
My heart's starting to sort of
perhaps
faster.
There might be an opportunity. I could wear green for a couple of days if I have to, Huss, if you want.
Sorry, Half, you're out. You bought the red.
Yeah,
sorry.
Correct.
Whitey could wear green for a couple of days if you wanted to, Huss.
You've got to wear a helmet, though. I don't want any concussion. We don't need any concussion subs.
What about red shoes? What's your take on red shoes?
I'm not cool enough to pull them off, but they're not for me, no. Sorry.
Oh, boy, whatever shoes I have to if I get to don the green.
Actually, before I let you go, the training situation from now on through the campaign, you play every couple of days. What does training look like, Huss?
It's an excellent point. So generally the older players or the more experienced players sort of know what they need to get ready to play, whereas the younger players are still learning their craft. So I spent a lot of time with the younger players formulating plans to make sure they're ready to go and to get the best out of themselves, but also improving. Whereas the older players, I give them a lot of I empower them to make their own decisions, then we sort of meet regularly to say, are you getting enough here? Are you getting enough there? What can we be doing differently in order to get the best results for you? And generally, they're very forthcoming with, and they're honest with their information too. But if it doesn't get a plan, generally goes back to a very, very structured couple of hours net session. And the non-negotiable is fielding. We always do fielding because I believe if you do a couple of brilliant things in the field, it does go a long way to turning the match in your favour.
Sixers and the Stars to kick off Big Bash 11 Sunday night, 7:35 local time at the SCG. Nice place to play cricket full stop and a nice way to kick off a big summer of Big Bash. Huss, always a pleasure talking to you, mate. Thanks for all your time through the year and we wish you the best of luck throughout the Big Bash campaign with the Stars.
If when we win this year, half, you're going to jump on board the Stars train, okay, please?
Well, it's a consideration. How about that?
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Good on you, buddy. No.